You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gary Capewell here to look ahead to Saturday's racing. And what a Saturday we have in store for you as well. Some top quality jumping action across the country, really. I think it's fair to say. We've got the Tingle Creek at Sandown. We've got races over the National Fences at Aintree. There's decent cards at Chepstow and Weatherby to look forward to as well. We've even got a conditions race at Wolverhampton on the evening to look forward to. And there's racing at Navan as well. So there really is something for everyone, I think it's fair to say. On Saturday, we're going to focus on Sandown and Aintree on this edition of the Racing Podcast. We being myself, Alex Dunn, and the man sat alongside me, Gary Capewell. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited for some properly good jumping action tomorrow.
Yeah. So
sometimes, well, of late, you get the odd good race on a Saturday. You've had one or two really good races.
Yeah.
We've got a real mix on Saturday of the top class. Then the
good
ultra competitive.
Yeah.
You've got the national, well, over the national fences.
You two races, national, yeah.
But there really is, it's just a feast, isn't it, of jumps action tomorrow.
It is. Where will you be watching it tomorrow?
I'll be in here.
You'll be in here, okay. Keeping away from the German market, that's good to know.
And where will you be?
I'm at Aintree. I'm working with Gareth for Radio Yorkshire.
All right.
So we're doing the race over the national, or the Beecher Chase between us. Mm. I think I've got to do the race before the Beecher Chase, and Gareth's doing the race, I think the Many Clouds listed race.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I'll be out of there as soon as the Beecher Chase is done and dusted and heading home.
But it's fantastic, isn't it?
It is good.
Both Aintree and Sandown. And Chepstow and Weatherby are going to be not forgotten about, but they are, in comparison, you know.
They're okay.
Well, you've got a Grand National Trial at Chepstow, or the Welsh Grand National Trial, I should say. That's 3 miles, class two event, you know.
That's a bit odd. A Welsh National Trial just over 3 miles. I thought they'd made it 3-2. Started it down the back
straight. But even Weatherby, you've got a couple of class three races.
Yeah, for a Saturday, you usually expect the fourth of them to have sort of class fours and class fives, but there are plenty of class threes. So it's an interesting Saturday. You've got, I can't remember if there's anything decent running in Ireland. Just flip down a second. You've got the that novice chase. I know Luke Elder's strong on Tip Bob.
Yeah.
So I'd be opposing that. there's always usually something interesting in the maidens.
Yeah, exactly.
Jiggers to the front boys and all that.
Yeah. But no, it is. It's fantastic.
It is good stuff.
It is good stuff indeed. And we're going to focus on two feature races at Sandown and two at Aintree. If truth be told, we could go through both cards quite happily, but we don't have the time.
I don't want to.
And Gary doesn't want to either. So. We'll start at Sandown with the 155. It is the Henry VIII Novices Chase, a Grade 1 contest over just shy of 2 miles. And we've got six runners down to go to post. Now, we've got prices for all of these races. I must just stress, these are at the time of recording for all of them. That is 2 o'clock-ish on Friday afternoon. So for this one, Bristol Demise, your 13-8 market leader. Asda Me is 100-30, 7-2 Willow Saviour, 8s for Size and Codelco and Bouvroy, and 14s for Armad. I wouldn't say it's the strongest renewal of this race that we've ever had, but no. I think that there could be a very high-class chaser in Bristol Demai heading affairs.
Quite possibly. I suppose it's apt that we've got six of them with it being the Henry VIII chase, isn't it? Bristol Demai, I saw when he made his chasing debut at Yotoxeter, finishing behind Garde la Victoire towards the back end of October, I think it was. He jumped soundly enough. Obviously, he was highly touted. He won at the finale hurdle on his UK debut at Chepstow last year, finished third in the Contenders Hurdle, again behind Garde la Victoire. Bit disappointing, I thought, behind Glyngabern at Kelso in the... is it the Moor Battle, I want to say? Probably wasn't, actually, was it? No.
No, the Premier Hurdle.
The Premier Hurdle. And then finished third at Aintree behind All Yours in the four-year-old race there. As I say, he finished second on his chasing debut, and then he won that four- and five-year-old chase quite comfortably at Warwick.
Jumped well as well that
day. Did jump well. Mm. Whether I'd want to take too short a price about him, probably not. I know he's getting a bit of weight because he's a four-year-old. Comes up against Paul Nichols is as the meat. Paul, who's won three of the last four renewals of this race.
Nice types,
Alpha Off, Hinterland, who didn't really go on. And Vibrato Valtat, of course, last year, who obviously runs in the Tingle Creek. We'll be talking about that in a moment. He's had the two runs over fences. We should point out he was a fairly decent hurdler. Of course, he won the EBF final here before the festival last year, and then wasn't disgraced in Grade 1 company, albeit he finished a fair way behind Nichols Canyon at Aintree. His chasing debut, he finished second at Chepstow behind Cocktails at Dawn, form that's worked out OK. And there was no disgrace going down behind more of that last time out, where his jumping got better as the race went on. He might just offer a little bit better value than the favourite. Willow's Saviour, obviously trained by Dan Skelton, won on his first run for quite some time when winning at Warwick on his chasing debut, beating ASO. Prior to that, he'd got some decent form over hurdles. Obviously, he won the big the big handicap at Ascot before Christmas a couple of years ago. It was probably Dan Skelton's biggest winner to date when he won that race. He jumped well, so he has to be considered. And the Irish Raider is not to be underestimated either. Sizing Cadalco, he's been off the track a while and has been seen since making a winning chasing debut at Listowel on fairly testing ground. He kept on really winningly and strongly on that occasion all the way to the line. He always looked as though he was going to be a better horse over fences than he was over hurdles. He's a very interesting contender. Bouvril is a second string for Paul Nichols and probably needs to improve a little bit on what we have seen thus far. And Armad probably likewise for that one.
Making his chasing debut, Bouvril, in this race.
Yeah.
It's quite a big ask, isn't it?
Yes, it is a big ask. He's another four-year-old, so he's getting weight. Might just find this a little bit too hot at this stage of his career. I think Bristol Demise is probably the most likely winner, but if you're having a bet, I wouldn't want to back him at the current prices that we have on recording, so I'd have to go for the other Nichols horse, as to me.
Okay, 134 as to me as we speak. Sam Twiston Davies taking the ride for Paul Nichols. We'll stay at Sandown then for the 3 o'clock. It's the Tingle Creek, the same trip, nearly 2 miles, a Grade 1 contest. And it's a really good Grade 1 this as well. You've got the 8 runners going to post as well. So as things stand, you've got a good each-way bet potentially as well. In recent years, this has gone to Sizing Europe, Sprinter Sacre, Cider Grugy, and last year to Dodging Bullets. The betting looks like this for this year's renewal. 9-4 for Rato Valtat, 11-4 for Simon Sig, 5-1 Special Tiara, 6 is for Cider Grugy, 12 for Josses Hill and Summersby, 14 is Mr. Mole, and 25-1 for Third Intention. Why should we start here, Gary?
Because let's start with the bottom.
It's quite hard to rule, with the exception of maybe Third Intention, who's a good horse in his own right.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be surprised if a few of these, even like the likes of Mr. Mole, quirky but on his day, talented, and it is a really good race. This
it is. We'll begin with Vibrato Valtat, who won a Grade 2 novice chase, the Wavered Lad novice chase at Kempton last year. That had come off the back of a victory in the Henry VIII chase, of course, when he beat Dunraven Storm.
On this card, yeah.
Yep. He finished fourth in the Arkle behind Undersow, second behind Clark Abbott Aintree, and fourth here. Paul Nichols was willing to run him as a novice, and he was fourth here in the Celebration Chase at the back end of last year. He won the Holden Gold Cup on his season reappearance quite convincingly. He's always had a bit of a quirk about him, the horse, hasn't he? Sam Twiston Davis got a slating for him when he rode him in that novice chase when he finished behind Dunraven Storm at Cheltenham last year, which I thought was a little bit unjustified. He's the type of horse that I'd like to back at a bigger price rather than 2-1. I wouldn't want to take too short a price about him.
Okay.
Simon Sig, obviously, won the Arkle quite a few years ago, now back in 2013. Obviously, unbeaten over fences, three from three. Dual Festival winner. He'd won the Neptune the year prior to that. He finished second behind Bobsworth when he came there looming large on his reappearance. He's entitled to have improved plenty for that. I don't know. That form obviously took a little bit of a knock subsequently. So that one, I mean, again, he's fairly short in the market. So he probably wouldn't be for me. Mm-hmm. Somersby, he's had many a go in this race, and he always runs with credit. I think Nina Carberry's an interesting jockey.
Yeah,
booking.
I was going to say that.
But at the age of 11, you'd be disappointing if he was to win.
Why do you think she's on board? She's never ridden the horse before.
She had a winner for the owners at Cheltenham previously, Knockhouse, mm-hmm. and the owners, the Radfords, had a chat with Nina at the sales. I'm not sure when. It must have been fairly recently. Mm. So that, I should imagine, is the reason why.
Okay.
Joss's Hill, I'm still not convinced about him full stop with his jumping,
no,
albeit I think he might improve a bit this year. Mr. Mole is never a horse that I'd really back. Sire the Grouge, he obviously won this race a couple of years ago. Disappointed with him on his first run back for a while. He's got his ground, but probably not for me. So the one I'm going to go for, and I think might well be able to get the run of the race perhaps, is Special Tiara for Henry the Bromhead. Obviously, Cycling Europe won this race for Henry the Bromhead a few years ago. Very disappointing on seasonal reappearance behind Hidden Cyclone, but there were excuses for that run that day. And I think Henry the Bromhead has gone out and said how much that this horse needed the run. Obviously finished third behind Sire de Grugely a couple of years ago in the Celebration Chase. But won that race here last year. Finished third in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Still think this horse is perhaps a little bit underrated. Had won the Desert Orchid. The Desert Orchid Chase at Kempton prior to that Christmas, and had gone there on the back of finishing a disappointing fourth in the same race that he ran in this campaign as well. Mm. So he is the one for me. I think he probably represents the best value currently. He was obviously a lot bigger earlier on in the week before the defections came, but he's still probably is the best value in. It's a good race. It's not the best betting race for me in the world, if I'm perfectly honest. But we do have the dead eight if they all stand their ground, so you're better off having an each way poke on something and 5-1 each way special. TR is probably the way to go.
Okay. We'll move to Aintree then for two contests that we're going to look at there. Some really good racing at Aintree, both in terms of you've got these two races over the national fences that we're going to look at, but you've got Don Polly as well, making his seasonal reappearance at 2:15 against Menorah, Many Clouds, and Southfield Theatre. So only the four runners, but a cracking race there.
I'll be going after that.
We're going for a race with slightly more runners in game.
We are.
It is the Beecher Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 contest over the national course, 3 miles and 2 furlongs for the 17 runners to negotiate. Coming up at 1:40, and the betting looks like this. We've got 7-1 co-favourites of 4 in Guniella, Saintar, Algonong Pazam and Pinot de Rey, 8-1 for Thunder and Roses, 10s for Union East and Sol, 12s for Vic's Canvas and Dollar Tulo, 14s or bigger the remainder. What I did notice about this race, Gary, is it would appear, and I know that this is going to sound blatantly obvious, but the classy, classy horses are all at the very, very top of the handicap. They
You're right,
handicap
that is blatantly obvious.
But do you know what I mean? Sometimes you'll see a lurker. I can't see a lurker here. I see there quite clearly being a gulf in class between maybe the top 6 or 7 and the rest. It's just whether that weight will tell around a pretty testing course.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. If you look at the trends of this race, last year Oscar Time won, carried less than 11 stone. Previous year, less than 11 stone, 10-6 chance to Roy. Hello Buddha obviously won this race twice. He carried 10 stone and 10-5. West End Rocker, 10-10. Vic Venturi lumped top weight round in 2009, but I'm pretty sure there was a small field for that race. Mm.
Very testing ground as well.
Very testing ground, which there will be quite possibly tomorrow, depending on how much rain that they get between now and then. But this race, the shape of this race is probably changing a little bit like the Grand National itself. We're seeing some of the better horses running these races now. If I was to pick one at the bottom, it might well be Portrait King. He's got a bit of experience over the national fence. I think won the Ida, from memory, a couple of years ago.
Fell in the national, actually gave Davy Condon that awful injury that led to him retiring. And but was giving him a really good spin up to that point.
Yeah.
Did clout the fence, but and he's just in the handicap as well. I should just say the bottom three.
Yes,
the bottom three are just out of it. But yeah. Portrait King is just in it, and he's got a jockey taking three off as well, which
indeed.
Can only help.
We'll start with those at the top then. Union East fell here in the Grand National earlier on in the year, either fence four or five, I think, from memory. Prior to that, he had won a staying chase at Sandown earlier on in the year. And he subsequently finished eighth in the old Whitbread. Classy top weight. He's coming here fresh. It'll be a big effort to win this, I think, first time out. Guniella won the Midlands National last year before finishing second in the Scottish National when the ground was completely against him. He actually unseated in this corresponding race last year. Obviously behind Oscar Time, he went at the first, so he didn't get very far, which is putting me off a little bit. He was going to be one of the two with the ground in his favour, but ultimately, obviously, he does need a little bit further. But if he's in touch coming around the elbow and he's got round okay, there won't be anything finishing quicker, I don't think.
Let's talk about St. R, Gary, because I remember going to Aintree and watching this horse.
I backed this horse for the National a couple of years ago.
You see, I remember watching him, and he's always loved Aintree. But
when he was ninth,
he showed no respect for his fences, not over the National fences. This was when he won the John Smith Handicap Chase going back to 2012.
Oh, he belted almost everyone, yeah.
And I cannot believe that this horse has taken to the National fences. If you could have said to me, if there was one horse to take out of that race that would not complete a National. And yet last year he was second, he's tough, he's game.
Yeah.
And he'd have to have a chance here with the pipe open at Cheltenham.
Oh, definitely, definitely. He finished sixth, obviously, in the cross-country race. Seems an odd way of campaigning him in many respects, I suppose, doesn't it? But, yeah, I mean, he loves Aintree. The ground would be the issue, I think. He's handled good to soft, but I think it's going to be possibly even a little bit more testing come race time on Saturday. So that would be a bit of a concern. I know he's got bits and pieces of form on it, but he's definitely a spring horse. Mm-hmm. And I think all roads really lead back towards the National next year for me. So I'm willing to pass him over tomorrow. Vitch Canvas is an interesting one. Another Irish raider. Finished eighth at Haydock the other day over hurdles. That was obviously, one would imagine, a bit of a prep run to try and put in Cherry Ripe for this. He obviously finished second in the Whitbread. He actually fell in the Irish National last year at the first, but there was a bit of a charge onto the first that day. Prior to that, he'd finished third in a decent handicap. The old Paddy Power handicap at the Leopardstown meeting, one of the more competitive races at that meeting. Thunder and Roses, obviously the Irish National winner from last year, finished fifth over the hurdles the other day. Bit of a spin round with this in mind. He's still fairly inexperienced, actually, over fences, all things considered. He's only had the six runs over fences. Some of them have been in really, really good company as well.
Just a seven-year-old
Just a seven-year-old. So, I think the Grand National is ultimately going to be the aim for him. Dollar Tulu is another one with experience at the National, over the National fences as well. Obviously finished 19th in the Grand National. And he's a former winner of the old Roland, Merritt Chase as well. Mm. He has to be given some sort of a chance. Sol is another one who's got form here round over the National fences before. As to, of course, there's Pino the Ray, who they were on about retiring until he ran a much better race at Sandown on his most recent outing. You don't want to be giving up on him just yet. But the one I'm going to go for is Algernon Pasm of Nigel Twist and Davis's. Now, Nigel's got a very good record in this race. Obviously, Hello Bud. Mm. He won it with Indian Tonic, the second ever renewal. Young Hostler won it in the 90s. And Earth Summit, of course, former Grand National winner himself, won it the year he won the National in 1990. It was the year he won the National. So yeah,
just a six-year-old though.
Just a six-year-old, but he's had plenty of runs over fences. He won on his chasing debut on Neptune when he won earlier on in the year on his chasing debut at Leicester. He also ran in the Whitbread, finished seventh, and he was a bit unlucky, I thought, at Bangor. He jumps well, this horse, considering his inexperience. He's likely to be up there, and as we've seen in years gone by, particularly with the National itself, you don't want to be too far back. It's not a question of just hunting them round now and then picking them off gradually. You can do that, but it wouldn't be the ideal strategy. The closer you are to the pace, the better. Mm. So I'm going to take a chance with him, with Nigel's horses still in fair form. He had that prep run, as I say, he was just chinned in the closing stages. So if Guniella gets round okay and is in touch and it turns into a slog, he'll outstay the lot of them. Mm. But that could be a big if. So Algernon Pasm in that race, okay, in the Beecher.
The final race we're going to look at is the 3:20. It's the Grand Sefton Handicap Chase, once again over the National Fences. 2 miles and 5 furlongs a trip for this one. 13 runners are down to go to post, and the betting looks like this as we speak. 5-1 for Rocky Creek and Double Ross. 6-1 for Benny's Mist. 8's Poolmaster. 10's for Seven Sky. 11-1 Rathlin. 12's for Fargo and Art of Logistics. And 14's or bigger the rest. Another race over the National Fences, Gary, that has attracted classy types at the top of the handicap.
Yeah.
This time, Rocky Creek and Double Ross.
I'm a little surprised to see Rocky Creek there, to be honest.
Well, he's going to want further than this. He's not since his debut for Paul Nicholls, which was at Exeter, has he ran over anything less than 3 miles until this. But that said, he's got round here before. Fifth in the National in 2014,
17th
last year. A little bit disappointing, but there are those that say that he didn't stay the trip anyway. So he could have been as well as you like. If he's not staying the trip, he's not staying the trip.
I think he's the class act. I think he's going to take a bit of beating.
First-time cheap pieces.
I was just going to say, Paul Nicholls' record when putting first-time headgear on horses is absolutely superb. We saw with Hawke's Point last year at Warwick in the big staying race there, and there've been plenty of other instances as well. He's got to give a lot of weight all around. Some of these down at the bottom of. They're only rated 1, 2, 5, 130.
Bottom three out of the handicap, and there's plenty that arrive in here in bad enough form that you could almost discount them. It could turn out to be a fantastic each way race, this, in that you could only really credibly give a chance to maybe 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Master obviously won this race last year. He's quite a lot of hit and miss with him, and more often miss rather than hit. Fargo is still likely enough race to be improving, but, oh dear, not for me. Mm. Ardle Logistics actually napped, finished in, I think, 6th in the top, or 7th from memory. I'd backed it each way with an extra place. I'm going to guess it was 6th.
It was.
Yeah, typical. behind Rajdhani Express. He probably wants better ground than this, though, so that'd be enough to put me off him. Double Ross, wet mind conditions, and obviously he's... a decent horse in his own right, albeit he hasn't won for a while, but he's a bit of a Cheltenham specialist for me, albeit he did finish 5th in the top and behind Mafuel a couple of years ago. I think Double Ross is probably the danger, but I actually think Rocky Creek's not a bad price against quite some inferior horses. He's got to give weight away, but this is his easiest task for quite some time, so Rocky Creek in the Grand Sefton for me.
Okay, just one I'm going to throw at you here. Benny's Mist. Out of form at present.
I'll throw him back.
But Venetia Williams, we know, can get one ready if need be. A really mixed record at Aintree. Has finished 3rd in this race last year. Also finished 2nd in the Topham, but has also finished 11th, been pulled up a couple of times. Very hit or miss, but you're likely to get a price that means that if it is hit, then it's not the worst bet in the world.
Quite possibly. Unseated the rider in the Topham, although it was slightly unseated, I think, by a loose horse.
Well, that was the one where Aidan Coleman ended up in the fence.
Yes, that's right, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then went and found Benny's Mist afterwards.
At least the ground won't be an issue, but again, quite a lot of this horse's best form has come at Newbury and Wincanton, sort of flatter tracks, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the pick is...
the top bait, Rocky Creek.
Okay, Rocky Creek.
I think it's a good bit of placing.
Yeah, Rocky Creek, and available at an each-way price as well, as things stand, 5-1 in the Grand Sefton. Great stuff, Gary. A pleasure talking to you as always. It's a fantastic racing.
Pleasure was all yours.
best luck with your bets, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.